Hey, Tiger fans, it's time to talk football. The Auburn Tiger Radio Show with your host, Bo Meganson, starts now. To get in on the show, call 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
Eagle Auburn fans, and welcome to your Auburn Tiger Radio Program, the 2-0 edition of your Auburn Tiger Radio Program, talking Tigers and only Tigers here on FM Talk 106.5 for the next hour, and taking your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. I'm Bo Meganson, joined as I am most every week by Antonio Coleman, former Auburn defensive end, NFL, Canadian Football League defensive end, and now the defensive coordinator and the defensive genius for the Williamson Lions high school team. And before we get into it, let's talk about the baby Lions, and or the Lions, I guess. And how'd you guys do last week in a storm shortened week?
Well, obviously the storm pretty much threw a wrench in everything that we had going.
There we go, Antonio. Go ahead.
Obviously, a storm threw a wrench in everything that we had going on last week, especially practice wise. We don't have an indoor facility.
But I mean, Williamson doesn't have a high school team, doesn't have an indoor facility? Come on. Get your
Marcus
on that. Get your Marcus on that. And
we've
Nick.
Been talking about it.
Okay.
So a short week, we went up to Clark County and we pulled out a win, you know, with a hectic week, 28-6. So we're getting ready for the Bulldogs now.
So 28-6, was that two field goals or touchdown and missed extra point?
Well, actually, it was a busted coverage on the first play, and you know I blew a head gasket because that doesn't happen. But after that, we tied down, and they probably didn't cross the 50 all night.
So you gave up one. This is one touchdown against Clark County, a pretty good team that made the playoffs last year. And the week before that, y'all played?
It was LaFleur.
LaFleur. And did you give up a touchdown?
No.
No touchdown there. The week before that, you played?
Alma Bryant.
First game and give up a touchdown there?
Yeah.
One touchdown.
Yeah.
So in three games, you've given up two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Not too bad. You're getting there.
Yeah, I mean,
if you just had some defensive coaching, had some strategy, y'all would be okay, right?
Right.
Again, congrats. And so the Lions are now 3-0?
We're 2-0. The first game against Alma Bryant was a jamboree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're 2-0 in the regular season. We'll go against UMS, which is 2-0. So that'll be a showdown.
This is going to be a big game. Where are y'all playing?
At UMS.
Okay. Well, that's going to be an exciting game. I know you know Coach Terry Curtis very well, a good Auburn man.
Right.
And that's going to be a tough match, but should be fun to watch.
Excited, man. Excited for Friday.
Well, talking about our Tigers, let's go from one cat to another, from the Lions to the Tigers, which is why we're here. And before we jump in, let's talk to Steve real quick. He's on the line. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the Auburn Tiger Radio Program.
War Eagle, Mr. AC, and War Eagle, Mr. Bo Meganson.
War Eagle, Steve.
I can smell the odor of corn dogs in the air already.
Can't you, though?
It's corn dog week, isn't it?
Yeah, can't you? As it's, people are kind of driving through Mobile on the way up, they're hanging left at I-10 and go north towards Auburn. It just kind of leaves the smell of corn dogs in the air, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, listen, I've got some fun facts for you guys about this upcoming game with LSU. And one of the fun facts I have come across is that apparently, the Auburn defense is ranked 17th in the nation when it comes to rushing defense. That comes to numbers of 74.5 yards rushing in the last two games. That's what our defense have held their two opponents to. Now, on the other side of that ledger is the LSU offense. In their game against the vaunted defense of Southeast Louisiana last week, in the second half, LSU's scary offense managed to amass 78 yards total rushing and only two first downs and one touchdown in the second half.
And that was a defensive touchdown.
Does that scare you guys?
Well, I tell you what, though. I'm quite sure, Steve, that LSU wasn't showing all their cards, much like we didn't show all our cards against Alabama State. And they wanted to just get through the game, get a win, keep guys healthy, because they already lost their best pass rusher for the year. Calvin Chazon, I believe is his name. Is that his name? Did I pronounce that right, AC?
Yes,
Calvin
sir.
Chazon, who's a heck of a player who had a very good game against Miami, really disrupted Miami's passing attack, but ended up tearing his ACL and is out for the year. I was hoping he'd be back for the Alabama game, but no such
Okay, well, that. You know, I heard your comment there. In the words of Lee Corso, hold on, not so fast, my friends. Those offensive yards amassed in the second half, they could have surely been amassed by their second string offense, couldn't they, against an FCS opponent like Southeast Louisiana? Look what we did to Alabama State with our third and fourth string players, guys. What I'm trying to get at.
Well, I understand, but what I'm telling you is LSU.
They're playing at home, not on the road.
I understand that, but look, LSU's got football players, man. I'm just telling you, you can.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I'm not scared of this team.
I'm not scared of anybody.
I drink too much Kool-Aid, but I'm not scared of them, guys. You know what I'm really scared about?
You shouldn't be scared of anybody.
I'm worried about Texas A&M. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, you shouldn't be scared of anybody. Auburn can beat anybody they play. I think we proved that last year.
No, I know, but if we don't do some of these crazy turnovers, we've got to cut that out. We cannot have, especially our starters like Booby Whitlow, and you heard about his mother, right?
Yeah, we saw that on the internet.
Marcus Spears calls her Mama Savage Whitlow.
Well, yeah, for those who didn't see it.
50 push-ups.
Right, for those who didn't see it, Booby Whitlow's mother made him do 50 push-ups after the game and recorded it for YouTube and posted it on YouTube.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
And it showed him doing 50 push-ups after the game for fumbling. Of course, we also had Matthew Hill fumbled.
I think it's 48 or 49% passage of percentage completion. I'll take Stidham any day over that quarterback.
Well, there's no question Jarrett Stidham is the better quarterback here. And if you're going to go just based on quarterback play, Stidham is two or three times the quarterback that Joe Burrow is. But there's no question we have to stop the turnovers. We had five fumbles, AC, on Saturday. Ryan Davis, Booby Whitlow, Asa Martin, and, of course, Gray King in the special teams. Had one as well, and there's one I'm forgetting. Let's see, Ryan Davis, Asa Martin, Matthew Hill had one on a big play. He was running down the sidelines and got it ripped out of his arms. And Whitlow, and of course, we lost four of those. You can't have four turnovers and beat anybody in the SEC, or probably it's going to be tough beating this to anybody other than Alabama State. So that's got to be cleaned up. But no interceptions so far for Jarrett Stidham. And defensively, got a lot of guys in that we needed to get in the game. I know there's somebody particularly that you know very well you want to talk about. But on the defensive line, some of the guys that got to in the game, you know, we know Derrick Brown. He and Marlon Davidson played both over 50 snaps against Washington. We can't have that. But there were some guys that we've talked about. Daquan Newkirk, he got in the game. Big Cat Bryant played a lot of snaps. T.D. Moultrie played a lot more snaps than he played against Washington. We need him. Andrew Williams played a good number of snaps. Tyrone Truesdell. These guys that we've got to have. What going into this week, this game, LSU, first big game, and you've been in those games, man. What does that mean for the defensive line where you lived and breathed?
Well, it basically means that this past game was a warm-up, you know. And you have to schedule these games. It's college football. But this week is going to be the tale of who has the best defensive front, I think, because LSU, like you said, they have players. We all know that. They have players. So they're coming to our house. We have to make sure defensively that we don't give up any touchdowns and we play sound football. That's what they're going to come to. You know, we have one of the best defensive lines, I think, in college football, easily top five. So we just have to do what we do in the front seven and take up the slack for the younger guys that's going to be in the back if they're able to get in.
Guy that really stood out to me, and we'll talk about the front four on the defensive side, but a guy who really stood up, I thought did a good job, was K.J. Britt, middle linebacker backing up Deshaun Davis. Deshaun is invaluable back there, but he plays linebacker, and you can get hurt. Things happen. I thought K.J., if you saw the game, he played pretty well, played downhill, attacked, missed some tackles he should have made, but I think showed that he could be a guy that can be counted on.
KJ is going to be a solid player for us, and, you know, glad to have him. Backing up Deshaun, I know he's learning a lot from Deshaun, but this kid, he's going to be special. He'll be able to walk right into those shoes that Deshaun leaves, and he'll be able to fill it, kind of like a T.D. Moultrie, which is another kid that's going to be special, you know.
And I wouldn't – we'll talk about this after the break. We're going to step aside just a second here in the next 30 seconds, but if Richard Jubinor, who I think you saw step – he looked good on the hoof – if he can play Buck behind Big Cat and we can move T.D. Moultrie to backer, you're talking about some monsters and some barbed wire chewing son of a guns playing linebacker next year for us. We're going to step aside real quick, take a break, and got a special guest coming up. Next, and give you some news, next week we'll be coming to you live from the Nexus Cinema on Cody Road, doing a live broadcast remote. We'll be joined in the next segment by Craig Hall, who's the general manager of the Nexus Cinema, talking about what they have out there. Just a fabulous environment and a wonderful facility they have out there, the Nexus Cinema on Cody Road, and look forward to talking to Craig about that. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 343-0106, 343-0106. Antonio Coleman, Bo Magginson here with you talking Tigers for the rest of the hour, and back with more of your Auburn Tiger radio program.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Megginson.
And welcome back to your Auburn Tiger Radio program, Auburn fans. The number is 343-0106 if you'd like to join us. Antonio Coleman and Bo Megginson here with you talking Tigers till the top of the hour. And I'm happy to be joined now by Craig Hall, the general manager of the Nexus Cinema out on Cody Road, just past the intersection of Cody and Grelot. And exciting news that the Auburn-LSU game will be broadcast on their 24-foot screen this Saturday, starting at 2:30. And Craig, appreciate you joining us, and we're really excited about what you're going to be doing Saturday. So tell the folks about Nexus Cinema and what we can look forward to seeing on Saturday at the game.
Well, thanks for having me tonight. I really appreciate it, guys. And War Eagle, by the way.
War Eagle.
We've got a new state-of-the-art facility we built out in Wilson-Mobile. It's a dine-in movie theater where you can actually come and sit in recliners or table seats, pick up an iPad, order food, drinks, alcohol, beer, wine, whatever you want, and enjoy a movie in ultimate luxury, actually, is what you're experiencing. But in addition, we've got a sports bar upstairs with 13 high-def 4K TVs. We've got a lounge downstairs with TVs in it. So we got to thinking, hey, we've got this great environment to watch a movie. Why not throw the football game in there? So this Saturday at 2:30, we will have the Auburn-LSU game on our big laser projection system with 57 speakers. I mean, you literally feel like you're on the field when you watch this one.
So
what we do is it's reserved seating, so you get to come in and pick your seat. I mean, actually, you can reserve it online before you even come. So when you show up, you know you're getting in.
Okay, and how many of the recliners do you have?
I've got 48 recliners, and I've got 15 table seats in the big theater is what I've got available.
Okay.
I've got another 55 up in my sports bar, and I can seat another 30 in my lounge.
If I wanted to get one of the recliners, how do I reserve a recliner before I get out there?
There you go. You go to NexusCinemaDining.com, which is our website. Click on NCAA football, and it'll come up and show you the games that we have available. You click on the game of your choice. A map comes up of our seating. You pick the number of seats that you want in the seat, and then select the actual seat. You pay with your credit card. And what it is, we can't legally charge you for a seat because it's an NCAA football game. So you're paying for the right to reserve a seat, and you get a $15 voucher to apply towards your food and beverage. So you're watching the game for free. The money that you use to do the reserve of the seat goes, all of it goes right back to your ticket.
Okay, great.
Well, Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Man, I didn't know they dropped a piece of heaven right off of Grelot and Cody Road. I've
been
meaning to get by there.
You won't believe it until you get in here.
Well, I'm excited. You know we're going to be broadcasting out there next week. You know, what other, I guess, nuances or other, bonuses that we had to look forward to?
We're not the average movie theater. We have popcorn and we have soft drinks. In candy, but that's as close as we get to a normal movie theater. We have filet mignon. We have jumbo lump crab. We have the best Gulf fried shrimp in the city of Mobile. We got the biggest wings you'll ever get. I mean, we got top quality food, and it all gets brought right to you. And the great thing is with the iPad, every single seat has an iPad. You don't have to wait for the waitress to show up. You don't have to wait for it when you're ready to have a drink. You just hit a button. When you get ready to pay, you pull your credit card out, you swipe it, and you go. You know, so you're in control of your experience the whole time you're at Nexus.
Well, Craig, that sounds like 5-star to me, maybe 10. I give it a 10-star.
There you go.
All right, but are you going to have any food specials? You know, a guy like me, I love to eat.
We'll have beer specials. We'll have food specials for the game. We're actually working on that right now. We're trying to come up with a special drink for the Tigers for Saturday. They'll be on the website, and of course, when they come up, the nice thing is our iPad is electronic, so all of our specials show up automatically. You don't have to worry about somebody telling you or whatever. They're right there for you to see.
Well, Craig, we are excited to see you on Saturday. Looking forward to coming out there for the game and looking forward to being out there for a live broadcast next Wednesday and doing our Auburn Tiger radio program from your location the rest of the season and being out there every week.
We look forward to it too, guys.
Thank you so much. Craig Hall,
yes,
everybody.
Sir.
Go see and go online at nexuscinemadining.com. And, again, we appreciate Craig joining us. I'm already hungry, my brother.
I'm hungry right now. Hey, Craig. Can I stop by after I get off the show?
He's back cooking for us. Because that's out near your
right
place.
Right around the corner from the house.
Absolutely. So that's going to be exciting. So, again, folks, head out there. It's a Saturday starting at 2:30 kickoff. And we'll be out there again next week, next Wednesday, of course, starting at 7 o'clock. Come on out early if you want to. I'm going to get something to eat. I know AC's going to be out there after practice.
Most definitely. I'll need it.
So come on out and join us. Back to the game this week. We were talking before the break, AC, about the defensive line and how that's where it's going to play. And we looked at some of the guys that didn't play against Washington. We talked after the Washington game how important it was for us to get some depth because we can't have Derrick Brown playing 50 snaps a game or Marlon Davidson playing 60 snaps a game. They're not going to last through the season because we've seen what Ole Miss can do offensively, what State can do offensively, what A&M did. I mean, it's going to be a bear. So we've got to have guys. Luckily, we've got them. Tyrone Truesdell showed up, had a good game, played a lot of snaps. Newkirk. Tell me, of those guys, those second-layer guys, who were you most excited or who did you get the most encouragement from seeing out on the field Saturday?
Well, Richard Dubedore is one of the kids that I really like.
Defensive end, freshman.
I think he got out and he did a great job. If we can create some depth at that outside linebacker behind Nick Cole, and he can get in and give us a few plays, that'd be great.
And Richard Dubedore he's listed at 6'3", 215. I thought he looked bigger. How big did you see? You know what a guy looks like. How big do you think he was?
Well, shouts out to Coach Russell because he looks a solid 230 at least.
I thought he looked bigger than 215 too. So 230, and if he can give us some snaps at that rush defensive end, he's a rush guy. You get to see him on some rush plays. Did he look like he had a good get off and a good jump off the ball to rush the passer?
When grading a rush end, that's the first thing I look for. I look at ball get off and pad level, and he had both, and he really impressed me. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for this kid and see if he can get out and help us win some ball games.
Big Cat Bryant had a fantastic game. And, of course, he was playing that buck and still is playing that buck end. But he's listed at 245, 250 and a sophomore. Probably can't help but be 260 next year if he keeps working out. Do you think he's a guy that grows into a strong side end that gives you a guy who can not only rush the passer, but it can also give you that, kind of like Marlon Davidson, that strong, sad guy who can also hold the point on the run as well? Or do you think he stays on the buck side?
I think he can do both because his frame is going to fill out even more. He's just a sophomore, you know.
And he's not real big.
Right. And it's a bonus if you can play more than one position, you know. And I think people are starting to understand that more in college football. If you can play more than one position, you're more valuable. And your time on the field is, you know, it's longer.
Talking about outside of the defensive line, where I think we may have an advantage there, LSU's got good players. A couple of their backups are from the Mobile area. Justin Thomas is one backup defensive end, is from Spanish Fort. And the other backup defensive end is Neil Farrell, who played tackle at Murphy. I believe he's about 285, 290 pounds. Big athletic kid. So they've got some guys there from the area. But Glenn Logan, Rashard Lawrence, and Braden Fekalos, who is the – I believe that's how – did I pronounce his last name? He's a transfer – Fajoko. He is a transfer from Texas Tech. Those are guys who could play, who are as good as probably our frontline guys. The challenge I see is in the secondary, LSU's got big-time guys. We've got the better quarterback. We've got solid receivers. Can our offensive line hold out so that we can – allow Jarrett to make the reads he needs to make to get the ball down the field. Because I think we may be able to run a little bit, but Jarrett's got to make some plays.
The offensive line will be the key to this football game. I really think so. That's been the talk the last 2 weeks, is about how the offensive line is performing, how we're young, how we don't have much experience up front. So we're really going to have to step up against another SEC opponent that's going to come in, that's going to challenge us. So we're going to have to definitely be on our A game up front, offensive line-wise, to protect Jerry.
Now, that said, I don't think LSU will show us anything in the front seven that Washington didn't. Now, I think LSU probably is as good as Washington was in the back end. In the secondary, LSU may be as good or maybe a little better. But I don't think we'll see anything in the front, on the front seven, that we haven't already seen.
Right. I mean, in Washington, let's not take anything away from Washington. Washington had a great front seven. You know, but we get into SEC play where you can lose at any given moment. You know, and LSU is a rival game to us. So we really have to buckle down. We have to be on top of everything. This reads, quarterbacks not fumbling, quarterbacks and running backs not fumbling the ball.
We've got to hold on to the ball. We've got to be able to run the ball. We've got to get more production out of the run game. And here in the last 30 seconds, JR, I know, is holding. JR, hold on through the break. We'll get back to you when we come back. But Sean Shivers had over 100 yards. You talked about him two weeks ago. I've been talking about him. He gives you a pop. He gives you a suddenness nobody else has.
One word for this kid, and that's electric. This kid is really electric, and I'm excited to see him for the years to come.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back with Jeffrey Lee of AuburnSports.com. Big recruiting weekend. On top of being a big game, and the biggest game of the year so far, obviously, every game at this point. We are in the playoff, ladies and gentlemen. Auburn is in the playoff. It's win and advance, and that's what we're going to do. But big recruiting weekend we're going to talk about as well. Back with more on your Auburn Tiger radio program right after this.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Megginson.
And welcome back to your Auburn Tiger radio program, Auburn fans. 343-0106 is the number. 343-0106. If you want to chime in, talk Tigers with Antonio Coleman and myself till the top of the hour. And we'll go to the phones to talk to JR. Go ahead, JR. You're on the Auburn Tiger radio program.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? War Eagle.
War Eagle.
I respect y'all's opinion, but I think Washington probably would be a 7 to 10 point favorite, probably over LSU, too. And I also think they'll run the table and probably not lose another game. And I don't think that Joe Burrow has saw any pressure like he's fixing to see on Saturday. And I just don't think he's going to be able to handle that kind of pressure he's going to get.
I totally agree with you, you know. And our defensive front, like I was telling Bo before, is probably tops in the country in college football. You'll never get a defensive front like the guys that we have. Recruiting-wise, we have done an amazing job. And there's no doubt in my mind that Kevin Steele is going to do everything in his power and send everything he has to test Joe Burrows and see if he's the quarterback that we've seen him to be the last couple of weeks.
And JR, I agree with you. I don't see anybody on the West Coast that's going to give Washington a run for the money unless it's maybe Stanford, just because Stanford is the only smash-mouth school out there. And I don't know if they can throw the ball well enough because Washington's got a good defense,
yeah. And
they can hold up. The only other X factor is Washington State with Mike Leach, Coach Leach out there. You know, sometimes he can put together a crazy plan and throw up a lot of points, and maybe you catch Washington on a bad day when they turn the ball over. But right. I agree with it. Yeah.
And, hey, I want to give another plug out to the Mobile Youth Conference. I got a kid that plays at Sims that's 11-year-old and 1 at 4-year-olds, and I'm telling you, the future is bright for Mobile.
All right. Very good. Well, I played Municipal Park years ago, and AC, I know you played the city mm-hmm. park.
City League.
You play at Gorgas, or where did you play?
I played at Trinity Gardens and RV Taylor Plaza.
Okay. So, yeah, youth football, I didn't have 4-year-olds playing when I was playing. But
it's big now.
So it's amazing. But, yeah, JR, thanks for calling, and keep your kids active and doing things and get them off the video games.
That's right. Ain't no doubt. Thank you, guys.
Warrior JR. And let's go to Jeffrey Lee, our special guest that we like to have in with us, who keeps his kids off video games as well. Jeffrey from AuburnSports.com, appreciate you joining us.
Hey, absolutely. Good to be here.
Well, of course, last week it was just you and me without your favorite, and AC's back with me. But we were talking, Jeffrey, before the before the break that LSU's got a good defensive front. They've got players. They're LSU. They're always going to have players. But I don't know that we aren't better on that defensive front seven than LSU this year, and it hadn't been many years that we could say that.
No, probably better than just about everybody in the country, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, I would, but again, and Antonio's nodding his head, and he believes in it.
I agree.
I mean, but you've got some good ones. Alabama's always got a lot of good guys.
Clemson's
good. Yeah. Mississippi State's thin. They got a good first four, but they're too thin. But I agree with you. I don't know anybody who'd be better than us. And if it comes down to the front seven, and LSU's offensive line struggled more than ours has. That's what people haven't understood, is that because you look at what they did against Miami, the numbers weren't that great. They got some big plays.
Right.
But I like our chances here, particularly when you come down, if all things being equal, it's quarterback against quarterback. And in that situation, Auburn wins hands down.
And I completely agree there. There's no doubt. I think I heard Antonio talking about this earlier. Kevin Steele is going to make LSU throw the football. And I just don't see Auburn, allowing LSU to run the football. They haven't done much on offense in the first two games. I think they're almost 13th. I think Kentucky is the only offense worse in the conference than LSU. So Steve Ensminger has not lit up any scoreboards or stat sheets in his first two games there. And the only highlight that I've seen of LSU is Nick Brissett, the mm-hmm. running back. I think he's maybe top five in the SEC, but, that first game against Miami had a big lot to do with that. So you shut him down, which I expect Auburn to do, and I just don't see LSU being able to hang with Auburn.
Well, Jeffrey, you definitely hit that on the head with the running back, Nick Brissett. He did look pretty good Miami game, and he did follow up with a decent game. So that's something we'll definitely have to stay on top of. But let's switch to recruiting. Any big recruiters coming in this weekend? It's a big game, big weekend out on the plains.
Yes, it is. This is going to be probably the biggest weekend since June's Big Cat weekend, which, all the elite recruits come to. And Auburn's games with Georgia and Alabama both being away from campus this year, the LSU, the Tennessee, those are going to be your two biggest weekends. And this weekend is already shaping up, living up to its billing. And right now you've got Cameron Kelly, the defensive back from Virginia, who is committed to Auburn. He's a four-star guy. He's coming in for his official visit. And then you've got three top targets really for Auburn, and one being a running back from Miami. And Kenny McIntosh, who is the number six running back in the country, he's coming in for an official visit. This will be his first visit since Big Cat. Will Putnam is a four-star guard from Tampa. He's coming in for a visit, an official visit. And then Derek Hall, who Auburn has at the top of their board at the buck position. They really love this kid coming off the edge. He's from Mississippi. He's coming over for an official visit. So right now I'm expecting anywhere from four to six official visitors, but the unofficial visitors – could go over 100, and this is a hot ticket, especially for recruits. They want to come. They want to see this game. They want to see that atmosphere and experience it. And Auburn's definitely going to take advantage of it.
Well, Jeffrey, I know that you guys have an article that was posted late this afternoon about some visitors and particularly some junior college guys that are coming in for unofficial visits. I know there hasn't been a lot of talk about junior college guys, except maybe at offensive tackle. But I know Sam Williams, who's an Ole Miss commit as a defensive end, can play the buck. He's a 6'5", about a 240-pound guy, who's, I believe, coming in. And then, of course, there's a middle linebacker, I believe, that's a Tennessee commit, scheduled to come in too, aren't they?
Yeah, LaKia Henry, I don't know if they're coming in this weekend. That's probably something. Most of the times you don't hear much about other school commitments until later in the week. But Sam Williams was here last Saturday night. He's from Montgomery. I don't know if he went to Carver. I can't. He's from Montgomery now at Northeast Mississippi Community College in Boonville, and committed to Ole Miss. But Auburn really likes him. Now that they got it, they have him number two, from what I've been told, on their buck board behind Derek Hall. It could be a thing where I obviously think they don't take anybody until Derek Hall makes his decision. And Auburn's leading for him right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he committed soon, maybe even this weekend. But Samuel Williams would definitely be a guy to watch. He's 6'5", 240, big old dude. So he could be somebody Auburn makes a push for late. They're also recruiting Lakia Henry from Dodge City, Kansas, a four-star linebacker, big 6'2", 230, kind of a thumper middle guy. And he's committed to Tennessee, but Auburn's still recruiting him. And the big guy that, Bomadale Olasani, he's from England and played football over there and has come to the States and has really made a name for himself out in junior college. I think he's out in Kansas or Garden City maybe.
Garden City's where he's from, yeah.
Yeah, really like him. I mean, he just has that NFL OT look. So, Auburn's doing what they offered last month. They're trying to get in, try to get a visit from him, and are optimistic they will.
Okay, Jeffrey, any more defensive tackles or strong side defensive ends you think we might take?
Yes. I think Auburn, Kevin Steele, Rodney Garner, they really like Ladarius Cox. We spoke briefly about him last week without you, AC. I was hoping to get your take on Ladarius, who's committed to Tennessee. Kevin Steele went to in the spring to evaluate him, offered him on the spot, and then he came up for Big Cat, came back for the barbecue in July. So he's been a regular visitor. I've gotten the feeling, the buzz, that he would be switching his commitment. He's yet to do so, but in my projection, I've got him in Auburn's class in the end.
Yeah, he's definitely a solid player. I watched a little film on him.
And, Jeffrey, I know that there was some talk early on that Charles Moore, another one of those great Mississippi defensive ends in this class, who's committed to State, but who I believe his dad's working in Opelika now, that he may be somebody who might want to switch as well. Is Auburn still pursuing him, or are we filled up with that strong side?
No, Auburn's still, they've got Jaron Handy, who's his best friend, Charles Moore and Jaron Handy, both similar players. Colby Wooden, Auburn just got a commitment from him recently, and Justin Ebo Igby, I don't think that's how you pronounce it, but he's a defensive end who was committed to Alabama, but he grew up an Auburn fan. And, I thought Auburn – I actually had him in some early projections to the class to come to Auburn, and it looks like Alabama may be trying to wean away from him. And if that's the case, he'll definitely – I mean, there are defensive linemen absolutely lined up to want to play in this defense for Rodney Garner, for Kevin Steele. But Charles Moore, yes, his father's working in Opelika. He visited Auburn twice, stayed for about a week. And so he'll be back for a visit. I don't know when, but I expect Charles Moore to definitely be back for Auburn and Auburn to be a player with him until the end.
And, of course, there's the running back you address, the offensive tackle side, with the young man from the junior college. And I know that there's also – we've had good luck with senior transfers, with the grad transfer route, with Jack Driscoll, for example,
sure,
and with Casey Dunn.
Right.
So I know that offensively that may be a way that we go, but – still got a kind of a vacuum at running back. I know we've got Kenny McIntosh coming in, the number six running back in the country this week. Also a guy who seems to be lighting it up, who didn't get a lot of hype before, but Ty Edwards in St. Augustine, Florida, 6'3", 210, looks pretty good on the hoof. Where do we stand with him?
Well, at the top of his board. Auburn is just being patient right now. They could get Ty Edwards. Auburn could get Ty Edwards right now. They could have gotten him over the summer. He's ready to commit. They just haven't extended the firm offer to him. And Auburn's being very selective here. I think we talked about this last week as well. They're being very patient, very, 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 very selective. And they're waiting on Mark Anthony Richards. They're waiting on Kenny McIntosh. They're waiting on Noah Kane. These are all top five, top six guys in the country before they make moves on guys like Ty Edwards. But I believe in the end, Edwards can play linebacker as well. He can play linebacker or running back. I think he's a take. And you get him on campus and figure out where he's best. So
yeah.
In my projection, I would have Ty Edwards in Auburn's class as well.
Yeah, just looking at him, he's every inch of 6'2", 6'2 and a half, and every ounce of 210, 215.
Absolutely. Really good kid, too.
So, well, Jeffrey, here in the last 30 seconds or so, tell folks how they can take advantage of everything you offer and get information at auburnsports.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Auburn.rivals.com, auburnsports.com. We'll have a lot going on this weekend. We'll have unofficial visitors list Friday afternoon. We'll have official visitors. We'll have updates throughout the weekend. And, of course, the LSU coming to town, we'll have full coverage on that. Free trial.
And we didn't get to it, but we got basketball visitors coming in as well that
absolutely
we can talk about next week.
Absolutely. And Tyrell Jones, Jalen Williams, Ismail Massad, all top 100 players, they'll be in on campus this weekend for official visits. I'll have those up Sunday after they leave.
Well, very good. Well, Jeffrey, we appreciate you joining us and look forward to having you next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, man. Y'all have a good week.
War Eagle. Jeffrey Lee, AuburnSports.com, a Rivals affiliate, joining us as he does most every week, giving us great information from up there on the plains about football and basketball. And at some point, we'll be able to squeeze a little bit of that in because we're talking about Auburn all together. And, boy, Coach Bruce Pearl's got it going, AC.
I'm excited, man. I'm always excited when Bruce Pearl's name is mentioned in basketball.
Well, we'll be back for our final segment of your Auburn Tiger radio program right after this.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And welcome back for our final segment of this week's Auburn Tiger Radio program. Antonio Coleman, the defensive genius behind the juggernaut known as the Williamson High School Lions defense. And you guys got UMS Wright playing at UMS Wright, 7 o'clock on Friday night?
Yes, sir.
And I know we don't deviate too much. This ain't the Williamson High School show. But real quick, tell me how Jamarcus is doing. Jamarcus Russell, for all those who don't know, of course, everybody knows who Jamarcus Russell was, came back, is now the offensive coordinator for Williamson. How's he doing?
Well, Jamarcus Russell, which you know is like a brother to me because I played a couple years with him at Williamson, and I really looked up to him once he went to college and I was still at Williamson. He's really brought a lot to this Williamson football program. Knowledge-wise, the kids look up to him. You know, everyone knows the situation that been, you know, the situation that he was presented with and everything that he's been faced with, you know, as an NFL football player and being out of the league. But the measure of a man is what do you do after you've been knocked down? And he's one of those guys that I really can – look at him in his eye and respect everything that he says to me because he's totally honest. He's totally honest with the kids. And he's just like me. He can give you all of those little nitbits that you would need, you know, being that he played at the highest level too. It doesn't matter if it was 3 years or 30 years. So he has that knowledge, and he was coached by some of the best coaches to do it also, with the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher. So Jamarcus, he's added a lot of much-needed attention, especially working with the quarterbacks to that offensive side of the ball, and you can really tell it.
And I'm guessing he's able to convey to some of those guys how to handle their decision-making off the field as well as on the field.
And that's the biggest thing that he brings to this football team because, you know, coming in like he came in, kids are looking at you like, you're Jamarcus Russell, you know, you're the biggest bust in NFL. But once you really sit down and you talk with this guy and understand where he's coming from, it's kind of like, well, you know, everyone makes mistakes and everyone, you know, I mean, he was a young kid given a lot of money, you know, so didn't have the correct guidance.
Of course, he wasn't stupid. He's still doing okay. But he's been able to learn from that. I think he's made very good decisions recently, and I'm sure he's conveying those decisions to those young men.
And it's the maturity level. You know, he wasn't mature given that much money at that time. But right now, you know, I think he's reached the maturity level that he needs to be at. And he's really helping us in the Williamson Lions football program become one of our own and what we used to be.
Well, we're real excited for him, excited for you guys, excited for him doing so well. And, of course, at some point maybe Nick Fairley, Auburn's Nick Fairley will come back and be able to be a part of that too. But, again, congratulations. But going into the LSU game now, shifting from the Lions back to the Tigers. Jeffrey talked about it. You talked about it. All things being equal, if the Lions – offensive and defensive lines cancel each other out and are essentially the same, if the running backs are essentially the same, maybe LSU's a little better. Wide receivers, I think we've got the edge there. Secondaries, maybe LSU. Linebackers, a wash, maybe we got the advantage. All things being equal, it's about the same. Kicker, we may have the advantage in the kicking game. Quarterback, vast difference. The most important place on the field, I think we have a dramatic advantage. And ultimately, I think that's going to make the difference for us. I think our offensive line is going to play better. Our defensive line is going to play well. There's a reason why Joe Burrow didn't win the job at Ohio State and why he wasn't going to win the job at Ohio State. Not that he's a bad guy, but he's not Jared Stidham. He's not going to lead you to the playoffs. He's a guy. And that's where I think we're going to have the advantage. Plus, I don't know that we're going to lose at home for a while. And the home advantage, I think Auburn, Jordan Hare is worth 10 points.
I truly think in my heart that Jared Stidham is a championship quarterback. you know, came in last year, started off a little slow, but this kid can really sling it. He has the knowledge of the game. All of the coaches trust him, and I trust him to run that offense and get the ball into the playmaker's hands. You know, running back-wise, we have to have one player that's going to step up and carry the load. We can't have two, three running backs going in. Someone has to solidify that first running back spot, and we have to step up, run the ball. And once we run the ball, it'll open up the pass. And I think wide receiver corps-wise, we have some of the best receivers.
Right. And I think you've got to have a couple of guys because you don't want to get like we were last year with Kerryon, carrying, you know, doing everything, and then when he gets hurt, you're left with nothing. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. You want to have somebody step up and say, I'm the guy. It's like if you've got two quarterbacks, you ain't got a quarterback. But if you've got two running backs, now if you've got Carnell and Ronnie, that's one thing. We ain't got Carnell and Ronnie. But if Booby Whitlow can maybe step up, or Sean Shivers, or I don't know that Sean can carry the ball 20 times. Not right now. And it's not because he's 5'5". He'll have to be about 195, 200 pounds, and he's only 175. He's a thick, stocky, tough 175, and he brings the pain when he runs. But he's just not quite there yet. Tell me what you thought about Anthony Schwartz, the wide receiver, the speed guy on the outside.
I've heard so much about this kid, even running track. Roger, which is a Williamson kid, ran against him. He was like, man, I never lost the race, but this kid is blazing fast. And watching him on film and watching him last week, this kid is going to be real special for us. I hope that he can find some way into the playing rotation because this kid really has a special touch and a special gift that he can really help us win.
There's a lot of track guys, that track speed doesn't really transfer over to football, mm-hmm. to the football field. Not the case with him. I mean, he showed that burst. He got out on a break, and we caught that long touchdown pass. When that defensive back took a wrong step, it was over, and he was 5 yards past him in a heartbeat. So this is one of those guys, like you said, who's got the special gift where his speed translates, and there's no way to coach that.
You don't really see it much. Ontario McCaleb, which was a track guy, you know, his speed was blazing. Harry Adams, which is another guy that I play with, he was a track guy too and had blazing speed. But neither one of those guys had that Anthony Schwartz where it really translates to the field and you'll be like, man, it just breathtaking. It takes you away how fast this kid is and how he reacts on the football field versus the track.
And with him and, of course, Darius Slayton, who was the fastest guy on the team, back on the other side, and Sean Shivers may be in there, you've got the opportunity, I think, AC, you speaking as a defense coordinator, where you can put that defense in some bad matchup situations where you get a linebacker on a Sean Shivers or a linebacker or a strong safety on a Schwartz where there's really opportunities for big plays.
And that's the thing I think Kevin Steele is real great at, and also Gus Malzahn and Chip Lindsey, creating those matchups. And when you have guys that are this talented with a Sean Shivers and an Anthony Schwartz, with a Darius Slayton, I mean, you're not going to have enough players on the field to match up with all that speed and talent that these guys have.
And the key is the quarterback that can identify it and get the ball there. LSU's got players, but they don't have the guy who can get the ball. First of all, identify it, get the right coverage, get the right line blocking scheme, but then get the ball there.
And that's where Jared Stidham comes in. You know, we talk about Joe Burrow's transferring in from Ohio State. Like we say, it's the reason that he left Ohio State and then went in that starting position. And I think Jared Stidham is definitely on a totally different level right now with identifying defenses. But Kevin Steele's going to mix it up. And I mean, I really think it's going to take Joe by storm.
Well, I'm excited. I think Auburn wins. I think we win by 10 or 12, maybe get a late score. And have a good day. And good luck against UMS, my alma mater. Not too much luck. But I'm excited, AC, and think we're going to have a good game and bring him a win on Saturday.
I'm excited, man. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's been our Auburn Tiger radio program. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week from the Nexus Cinema facility out on Cody Road, just south of Greelot. Until then, War Eagle, everybody. See you next week.